We hear so much about Canada's housing crisis, right? And if we're going to call it a crisis, that means it's bad, and it's bad right now, and we need a fix right now. But as the weeks and the months go by, it becomes more and more obvious there is no immediate answer. And think about it. We're talking about a massive, massive undertaking. There are some big obstacles that we need to overcome, including where's all the money going to go? I mean, this is going to cost billions, hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars if we actually want to accomplish the target that has been set, or at least make up the shortfall that has been outlined by the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation. So let's get into it. What are the barriers and can we overcome them? We're going to speak now with Greg Khalil, who's the founder and managing partner of Stormont Partners, a real estate focused bank in Toronto. Greg, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
So last year, the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation comes out with the study that we all sort of reference time and time again now, and they say this country is on track to come up about 3.5 million housing units short by 2030. So the timeline's not that long, and the shortfall's really big. If that's our starting point, Greg, aren't we in really big trouble here? I mean, that looks like a big mountain to climb.
Well, we are. I think, 2030 was perhaps an arbitrary point in time that the economists at CMHC had to pick. I mean, they needed something to base the study on. But, I think it's an ideal of we want to have affordable housing in a broad sense within a reasonable period of time. And they wrote the story. It was 8 years when they wrote it. Mm-hmm. We're not going to hit it. We are in big trouble. We're nowhere near within that time frame to achieve affordability.
What are the biggest barriers? I mean, there's a bunch. Let's just go through some of the issues that you see us as, if we're going to even come close, we're going to have to overcome. What are some of the barriers that you see in the way of making this happen?
So the one that made it into the newspaper article in detail was the shortage of capital. So I can talk about that. Perhaps do that last. But there's a larger part, and all four things have to be addressed more or less simultaneously. One is the time that it takes to actually produce housing, and that starts with municipal approvals, which in a lot of large cities in Canada just take much longer
than they
should.
Yeah.
Way too long. 2 to 3 years, sometimes much, much longer in places like Vancouver and Toronto. So that's one. Number two, we have to have the construction capacity to be able to produce a lot of housing. And we don't. The evidence is in the dramatic escalation in construction costs over the past 10 years or so. And this is a Canada-wide problem, but it's a global problem. We see it elsewhere where we work. There's a shortage of skilled labor, and we're not apprenticing enough people to, know how to build buildings in this country. Immigration is the answer to part of that, and I think the federal government's got their eye on bringing skilled trades in, which is, a bit of the solution, so that's good. We need infrastructure, so you can't just build housing without building hospitals and schools and fire stations and transit. And importantly, we need people to actually operate that infrastructure. And this is a bit of a hidden issue because a lot of the times you can't, it's pretty hard to be a fireman virtually or a school teacher virtually. You have to be in a place of employment.
Yep.
And it's very hard in a lot of instances for those people, the people who operate within that or work within that infrastructure, to live anywhere near where they work. So it's much harder to recruit people.
All those things.
That's problem three.
Yeah, and all those things, they all lead to problem four, which, as you say, is the one that made it into the Globe and Mail, and that's the money. I mean, all of these things cost money, and tremendous amounts of money. I mean, if you put a dollar figure on this, Greg, what are we looking at here?
So CMHC used a different number, and I don't quite know how they figured this one out, but they were using a cost per unit of housing of something in the $200,000 to $300,000 range. That's, I don't know what decade that was from, but that's not current. In a big city, Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, you're looking at $700,000 or $800,000 per unit to produce a housing unit. We just rounded it down just for simplicity's sake to $600,000 per unit. unit. And if you multiply that by 3.5 million housing units, that's $2.1 trillion. We don't have that. The banking system doesn't have it. And the banking system would provide the debt financing for the construction of all this housing. And the investor equity is nowhere near the remaining amount of $500 billion that's required that wouldn't be debt financed.
So, I mean, $500 billion, I mean, that's just an astronomical number. Where do we even go about trying to come up with that kind of dollar figure? Can it be done? Where do you start?
So some of it's within Canada. There were programs years ago where the federal government had tax incentives to encourage investment from individual investors, really, through things like the MURB program, which is an acronym for multi-unit residential building. It was a funny little program, but it was very, very effective in creating a lot of purpose-built rental housing. It was a tax-driven incentive that encouraged, you and I, as an example, to just put more of our investment capital into the housing market. So they can do things like that, and that'll encourage a lot of it. But much, much more needs to come from outside Canada. There are tons of foreign investors who want to be in Canada. We get calls every week from global investors who say, well, we love the Canadian growth story and the stability of the economy and the political system, but it's too expensive to invest there. Taxes are a significant discouragement. So we do have somewhat meaningful foreign investment in Canada, but we could attract a lot of that $500 billion by relaxing taxes on foreign investment so that large institutional investors from the United States, Europe, Asia would feel that they can make a fair return here.
So it's some changes in government. We talked about regulation, red tape, that sort of thing, allowing people to build. We talked about foreign investment. So government, I mean, it's all hands on deck. They keep saying that they need to, solve this housing crisis. And it will take time no matter what happens. But these are some fixes that could come in right away and sort of at least get things going in terms of just get out of the way, right? If you're government, just get out of the way.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, they're not getting the taxes on those foreign investors.
Right.
Because they're not coming. So they should be indifferent between not getting them and when they're not coming and not getting them when they are coming, because it'll help fix the problem.
Are we seeing the urgency there? I mean, this is what it's about, Greg, and I know there's lots of talk about things that's going to happen, but it seems like sort of tinkering around the edges. Are we making a real effort, do you think, at this point, or are we even moving the needle at all?
I think the problem has kind of suddenly been recognized, which is a little disappointing. It's spoken about in the media on a pretty much daily basis these days. So the awareness is definitely there, and we're starting to see government address it with various programs. The reason I wrote that article is because it sort of astounded me that no one had actually done the math, or at least had talked about the math. I'm sure people have done the math, but if you just say, let's build more housing, well, what are the implications of let's just build more housing? It doesn't come out of thin air. It's got to be funded somehow. So I hope the article is getting a reasonable amount of attention. I hope that it gets into the mainstream thought of the various levels of government, so they suddenly realize that we have to address this in a really significant way to add to the incremental things they're doing around the National Housing Strategy, which is providing some funding, ideas around reducing development charges in certain municipalities or property tax holidays for the production of affordable rental and stuff like that. Those are all great. The recent idea of, which is being jumped on by some of the provinces, where the federal government will drop the value add tax on rental housing, and the provinces are following suit. Those are all very helpful. But they're not going to solve the problem alone.
Right. It's going to take a lot more than that. Yeah, good start. Greg, thank you so much for your time today. I really do appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.